The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the ESPN FC studios for today's edition of the show. I'm Sebastian Salazar. A little bit later on, we will turn our attention to some key fixtures across Europe this weekend. But of course, the football world very much still reeling from the death of Diego Armando Maradona on Wednesday at 60 years of age due to heart failure. Mario Kempes, one of his teammates and contemporaries, a colleague of ours here at ESPN Deportes, will join us for some perspective a little bit later in the show. It is indeed with the news of Diego Armando Maradona's passing that we will start our program today. These are scenes from Napoli outside the San Paolo ahead of Napoli's Europa League match on Thursday. Of course, Napoli, where Maradona won those two Serie A titles, late 80s, early 90s. The mayor of Naples already coming out with the suggestion that they should rename the stadium in honor of Maradona. Of course, the poignant headlines from around the world, see from The Guardian, from Kicker, Daily Telegraph, using Pelé's words, "The world has lost a legend." Gazzetta dello Sport, "I saw Maradona." L'Equipe, perhaps the most poignant, "God is dead." For more perspective, we welcome in Jan Agafjortov, Don Hutchison, and Stuart Robson. Robbo, I'll start with you. Of this group, you're kind of the most contemporary of Maradona's contemporaries. You would have been in the Arsenal youth setup at the time. He was in the Argentine youth national team setup. What do you remember about the beginnings of the Maradona legend?
Well, I went to the Under-20 World Cup in 1981, and we saw all the footage of the previous tournament, which was in 1979. And Argentina won the tournament. A bloke called Ramon Diaz was the leading goal scorer. But we saw footage of this player, Maradona, who was beating five, six players. It was something you'd never seen. We certainly hadn't seen in England. And he was absolutely magnificent throughout the tournament. And that was they kept on showing us, UEFA kept on showing us, FIFA kept on showing us, this is the standard that we expect from you at the 1981 World Youth Cup. This is what we expect. Of course, nobody lived up to that. Nobody ever lived up to the way he could play. So he was a magnificent player. And I was very close to going to the World Cup in 1986. I was just about to board the plane. Brian Robson was going to pull out because of his shoulder. He declared himself fit. So nearly got to play against him, but not quite.
Jan, you grew up in Norway, right? You could have been more polar opposite from Argentina, literally. How big was the legend of Maradona in Norway?
Well, I think we saw that today. I mean, Maradona, is there a more famous name all around the world? I love my sport. I love my football history. And I'm in the 50s, there were Puskas around. Then Pelé. I mean, Pelé was magnificent. But still, you go into the area of Maradona, and we saw the footage from Napoli, what he did there. And we remember, this was a time when the elegant players were not protected by laws and referees, and they played on terrible pitches. And still, he managed to be that good, taking Napoli to two, three titles in different tournaments. And what he did in 86, and I guess we all have thought now lately, is he the greatest ever? But I think for everybody who followed the World Cup in 86, watching what he did there, not only against England, there was a photo of him there against Belgium, the way he dominated the World Cup, I am very tempted to say he was the greatest of them all, because he was so much better than all the other players that he played in the 80s.
Don, you were a teenager when Maradona was at his peak, not just a teenager, but an aspiring footballer. What was that like?
Yeah, I can remember getting a VHS video. Maradona, I think, was called Number 10 when I was 11, 11 or 12. And Spain 82 was the first World Cup that I watched proper. And I fell in love with Maradona then. I really did. I've been quite sort of prolific on Instagram and social media, because he was the one that I just absolutely adored from a very young age. He was a sort of mystical figure. Went in the UK, we only got the World Cup. You know, we had channels 1, 2, and 3. We got the World Cup every 4 years, so we never seen the coverage like we do with the European players now and the guys in South America. And we see all the every single game that gets kicked off now, we recognise and we know the talents of all the emerging players of today. But yesterday, yeah, you got glimpses of people like Cruyff and people like Maradona. I'd never seen the Puskas era that Jan's talking about, but my dad did. And my dad talked about Puskas and Di Stefano and Pelé. And Maradona, you know, in 82 and 86, 86 was magical. And even Italia 90, when he played for Argentina against Italy in Naples, I can remember him, you know, asking the Italian fans for one game in Napoli just to support Argentina. And they actually did. That's how much power he actually had in Naples. And as Jan said, you know, he's just an iconic figure. I've watched every single documentary that's ever been made on him. And I watched one in the summer, which was superbly done. And I didn't realise all his troubles off the pitch, getting involved with the mafia and how many people actually wanted a piece of him. So his life must have been incredibly hard. But Maradona, the footballer, was an absolute genius. And in my mind, I've said it and I'll stand by it. I think he's the greatest of all time.
Mm. All right, that's two votes for the greatest of all time. Robbo, where do you come down in
that
argument?
Yeah, I would agree. Absolutely would agree. The hardest thing to do in football is to go past an opponent, go past him by dribbling past him. Diego Maradona didn't just dribble past one player, dribble past five or six, and he usually made the right decision. He'd score goals at the end of it. So he was the greatest talent, I think, that football's ever produced. And I would go as far to say he was the greatest player I've ever seen. Mm.
Jan, of all the things you saw him do, is there anything that sticks out to you top of head?
Well, I guess everybody will say that goal against England, but he also in the same World Cup, he had a fantastic goal against Belgium when he kind of took it around the whole defense of Belgium. It's not the photo that you guys used. There's another one, and it just ended up somehow like an athlete from another sport scoring that goals. But I think that I would just also say that I think that the myth and the legend of Maradona is also coming from very, very poor area, coming into being this superstar, and also, tragically, the last 20 years, where he ended up, but still loved by all people around the world. And I think that being a god, he still showed that he was a very much a human being. And I think that is also a kind of his popularity all around the world, because everybody could identify somehow with him.
A complex legacy, an amazing career. Four World Cups, debuted with Argentinos Juniors at just 15 years old, all told 21 years of professional football.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, nowhere has news of Diego Maradona's passing hit harder than Argentina. These scenes from Buenos Aires, the president announcing 3 days of national mourning. Maradona will lie in honor at Casa Rosada. That's Argentina's presidential palace. For more perspective, we welcome in our colleague from ESPN Deportes, Mario Kempes, top scorer at the 1978 World Cup and a teammate of Maradona's at the 1982 World Cup in Spain. Mario, gracias por estos momentos. ¿Por qué no empezamos pues al inicio? Te tocó conocer Maradona mucho antes de que el resto del mundo lo conociera. ¿Cómo fue ese joven Diego?
Bueno, realmente fue una sorpresa muy agradable para mí, porque yo ya hacía 2 años que estaba en España y a Diego no lo conocía. Recién lo conocí cuando llegué al Mundial del 78.
I asked Mario what was his first recollections of a young Diego Maradona. He said it was a great surprise for me. He was in Spain when Diego's legend had started to build in Argentina. It was only after that that he got to know him, and obviously a great surprise. Cuéntame un poco de ese ambiente de 82. Te tocó convivir con Maradona no solamente como compañero, pero en pleno mundial, fuera de la cancha. ¿Cómo era ese Diego en 82?
Bueno, realmente lo que le costó vivir a él, porque realmente no podía salir ni a la puerta del hotel, no podía salir ni siquiera de su habitación, porque había periodistas por todos lados, no lo dejaban nunca tranquilo. Es como decir, no tenía vida si no fuera dentro de la cancha, porque fuera era un tormento de periodistas, de gente que quería hablar con él, de gente que se quería sacar fotos. No tenía esa vida que tuvimos, por suerte, el resto de los integrantes de la selección.
I asked Mario how Diego was in 1982, not just as a teammate, but in that World Cup stage. He said he really couldn't be left alone. Diego could not leave the hotel. There were journalists everywhere, fans everywhere wanting to take his picture. He really, you know, hardly got to convivir, to live with Diego, because he could hardly leave the room. There were so many people who wanted to touch him and be around him that it was difficult for him to really be a part of the team in that sense. ¿Cómo era jugar con él dentro de la cancha? Me estoy imaginando él como el 10, tú como delantero. ¿Cómo se entendieron?
Era muy fácil jugar con Diego, porque con los mejores jugadores del mundo te entendés perfectamente. Pero a la vez era muy complicado, porque no sabía nunca para dónde iba a salir, no sabía si te la iba a dar o iba a enganchar para otro lado, porque si vos ibas a buscarla, a lo mejor no te la daba. Y si a lo mejor te quedabas parado, te la daba y quedabas con cara de tonto. Pero por eso, así son los grandes genios futbolísticos dentro de la cancha.
I asked him what it was like to play with Diego. He said easy, because when you're playing with the best, it's always easy. But at the same time, he used the word complicated. You never knew when you were going to get the ball. You could get there checking to the ball. He wouldn't give it to you. You could not expect the pass, and it would come. And cara de tonto, what you saw him say there, sometimes you would be left with a kind of foolish look on your face trying to guess what he was going to do. He calls him a genius, though, for sure. It was one of the thoughts there. También te tocó jugar como rival de Diego en un clásico Boca-River, también en España. ¿Cuál era el plan para enfrentar a un Diego Armando Maradona? ¿Cómo se defendían?
Era imposible decir, bueno, vamos a poner un hombre marcándolo a Maradona durante los 90 minutos, era una locura. Ahí lo tenías que marcar por zona. Lo marcaba por zona y te hacía lo que él quería. Lo marcabas hombre a hombre y hacía lo que él quería. Estos jugadores, estas figuras importantes de un equipo, los tenés que dejar. Los tenés que dejar a ver lo que hacen y esperar que se equivoquen para que no te hagan el gol o que armen la jugada. Por eso yo creo que a las grandes figuras hay que dejar que el público se divierta. Claro, a vos te va a doler porque perdés el partido. Pero es un lujo verlo jugar de esa manera.
Interesting. At the end there, he's saying that sometimes you just have to let these players play, even as a defensive player, because that's what the public wants. They want to see that show. I asked him kind of what it was like to play against Diego, because they did face off in some pretty big games, both in Spain and back in Argentina domestically. He said, impossible. You could try to mark him by zone. That was really the best bet, but he did what he wanted. You could try and man mark him, but he did what he wanted. There was just nothing you could do, only to let him do his thing and hope that he would mess up before it ended in a goal. Obviamente, Mario, Diego tiene un legado muy complicado. De todo su legado, ¿con qué te quedas?
Acá no podemos separar. Acá te quedas con todo el combo. Porque Diego era Diego, para bien o para mal. El jugador de fútbol también era aquel. Es decir, dentro de la cancha Diego era feliz. Era la persona más feliz del mundo con la pelota en los pies. El problema era cuando salía del estadio. Era como una cárcel. ¿Por qué? Que te dije anteriormente, él no tuvo infancia, él no tuvo juventud, él no tuvo después de la juventud o después de jugar al fútbol. ¿Por qué? Porque la gente estaba muy encima de él. Los grandes amigotes, esos que se dicen amigos, en vez de decir, para, no lo ayudaban a ser ese gran futbolista que podía haber durado muchos años más. Pero sin embargo, se le truncó la carrera por cosas que no eran estrictamente deportivas.
I asked Mario about, you know, what was the most important part of Diego's very complex legacy. He says you can't separate. Diego is Diego for good and for bad. He said on the field, he was the happiest person on the face of earth. The problems came when he left the field. Mario says Diego's life outside the field was like a jail because of what he was speaking like earlier. He had no youth. He had no innocence. The people around him, the friends, maybe didn't counsel him in a way that could have extended what was a brilliant career. Just the one last question then about the overall impact that this has had in Argentina. Mario, empezamos esta entrevista con imágenes desde Buenos Aires. Si se puede, ¿cómo se puede describir el impacto, lo que es Diego Armando Maradona para el pueblo argentino?
Es un líder. Futbolísticamente hablando, ha sido el más grande. Lo adoran en la Argentina y en prácticamente en tres cuartas partes del mundo, porque todo lo que hacía Maradona era noticia. Y yo creo que lo tenemos que recordar de la mejor manera. Alegría dentro de la cancha, sonrisa dentro de la cancha, intentando salir de la presión de los contrarios, de las patadas que le daban y saltando. Ese era el Diego Maradona que todos queríamos ver. Lastimosamente, hay muchas cosas extradeportivas que no terminaron con una carrera espléndida que él empezó muy jovencito y que lo podía haber terminado muchos años después. Pero así es la vida. Se toma o se vive de la manera que vos la quieras tomar o de la manera que te la dejen vivir.
Mario Kempes there telling us the question, what does Diego Armando Maradona mean to the Argentine people? He said he's a leader. They adore him, not just in Argentina, but really in three quarters of the world. Everything he did was big news. We should remember him for his joy on the field, for his smile on the field, for working his way around defenders who were trying to break him in half. And again, Mario laments that it was the extra things from beyond the field that cut short what was a brilliant career. Mario Kempes, muchas gracias por esta nota, estos momentos, te lo agradecemos de corazón. Diego Armando Maradona died Wednesday, 60 years old, of heart failure. One of the all-time greats. Here's what the top of the Premier League looks like heading into the weekend. Spurs tied atop the table, 20 points from 9 games with Liverpool. Chelsea third on goal differential over Leicester City. Spurs visiting Stamford Bridge Sunday for the showdown with Chelsea. For more, we welcome in Frank Leboeuf. We've still got Don and Stuart with us. Frank, I'll start with you. What's your level of confidence that your old club can get it done against Spurs?
I'm confident Chelsea play at home, and they had a very good game against Rennes. But I saw Spurs tonight playing as well with full of confidence, even if it was almost a B team. It's going to be a very good game. I'm very excited, and I'm looking forward to seeing that game because we want to know where the two teams are at. I mean, we expect them to give the best. We don't have too much injuries in both sides, and we want to know where they stand and what they're capable of. And I think it's going to be a very big exam and to see them playing against each other, to see where they're capable of going to, and if one of the two teams is a contender for the title.
Robbo, what kind of game do you think we get? Chelsea like to open things up. We know what Jose Mourinho and Spurs like to do. Opposites, what will it end up being?
Well, I think Spurs, as you say, will play quite defensive, as they did against Man City. Everyone said it was the perfect display. Well, it wasn't the perfect display. Tottenham actually gave away about 14 shots to Chelsea, to in the last game against Manchester City. There was balls that came into the box. Man City should have scored with two headers. So I think the way Chelsea play, I think if they create chances and take them, I think they've got every chance to win this game quite comfortably. Because I don't think Spurs' performance against Man City was anywhere near as good as people said it was. But they have to make sure that they watch Song on the counter-attack, because he's the main threat at the moment, with Harry Kane coming that little bit deeper.
Don, it's been quite an impressive turnaround from Chelsea in terms of at least their defensive effort in the last few weeks. Is that proof that Frank Lampard has maybe taken that first big step as a manager?
Yeah, I think so, Sebby. I think it was always going to take a little bit of time. And your perception at the start of the season was Chelsea were struggling. They were in a little bit of turmoil. But they've only lost one game, and that game was against Liverpool. They've had a few draws along the way. Tottenham and Chelsea are actually close to being identical records so far this season, only losing one game. But, you know, I agree with Rob. I'd done the analysis on the Man City game the other day against Spurs, and Spurs were incredibly defensive. So they'll do exactly the same. I just wonder if there might be a shift from Frank Lampard's point of view. He might put Hudson-Odoi and put Timo Werner as the nine and play Hudson-Odoi and try and create width. Because what Tottenham done against Man City, they played a sort of a box-like sort of area in midfield, and they allowed Man City to get wide in loads of areas. Where if Jose does the same thing against Chelsea, Chelsea's strength is actually getting wide and getting fullbacks high up the pitch. So that's one where Jose will be keeping an eye on. But I don't think Tottenham's going to come out and try and play this attractive football and try and wallop Chelsea. That's not going to happen. We're not going to see that style of play from Jose whatsoever. So I honestly think this is a flip of a coin. It's a really hard one to call.
Frank, we heard so much about a Mourinho masterclass last week after the performance against Manchester City. What does Chelsea have to do to avoid what we all know Mourinho and Spurs are going to attempt?
Well, firstly, maybe to be very effective, we know when they have a chance to score a goal, and then punish the Spurs when they can do that. And also be aware in contract-attack. You know, make sure that Kante and Jorginho work well defensively in the middle of the park, and make sure that the four at the back, you know, they're very spot on. And don't forget that Son, Kane in the middle, and Dembele, who is in absolutely fantastic form right now, are well eyed, I will say, and that they can check them up every time they don't have the ball, and make sure that they keep an eye on them when they have the ball, because it's going to be a real threat for Chelsea. Of course, every time Spurs will have the chance to get in counter-attack, because as the two guys said before, they swear they are the best, and it's what they should run against City. Two chances, two goals, bye-bye.
Robbo, I'm sure we'll have a clear answer to this come Sunday night, but based on what you've seen so far from these two teams, who's more likely in your mind to make a serious title run?
I think Chelsea, because, as I said, in that Spurs game against Manchester City, there were still lots of flaws in their defensive play. And if Chelsea can get it wide and get crosses into the box and keep making runs from midfield and get their centre-forward, Abraham, if it is Abraham, to get in front of centre-halves, they can score goals. But overall, Chelsea, I think, have got the better chance of winning the title or challenging for the title. Spurs have still got a lot of work to do. I still don't fancy their midfield at times, although Frank's absolutely right. Ndombele is playing the best football he's played at the moment, so I still think Chelsea are the better team.
Don, I wonder, do you agree? Who do you think will finish higher in the table between the two?
It's a hard one, Sebi, because I think Jose is obviously the master. And we looked at his numbers, what Jose does in his second season. He's been a champion in almost all of them, apart from his time at Man United when he came second. So that's impressive what he does in his second season. Wherever he has been, he's been a champion. So you can't write Spurs off. They have to be in the conversation. But I think this game will tell us a lot, like Frank said, where the two teams are at. If Frank Lampard's men win, they'll put a nail, I wouldn't say a nail in their coffin for good, because Spurs will bounce back, but it'll be a massive confidence booster for Chelsea if they turn them over. And I'm with Frank. When you see Tottenham play, they don't really convince you. Højbjerg's not one of the best midfield players, even though he's doing a very good job. Everton bopped him off the pitch in match day one. He couldn't get a kick. And I always think with Dier, and there's no Alderweireld, he's picked up an injury. They are quite weak at the back. They're good going forward with Son and Harry Kane and Bergwijn and Ndombele. So they are a threat there. But I just think overall, I think Chelsea might just have too much in terms of their squad.
All right, thanks, guys. Spurs fans, send your angry tweets to Don Hutchison. Here's your weekend Premier League slate. Action underway on Friday. Runs all the way through Monday with that doubleheader. Leicester City, Fulham, West Ham, Aston Villa.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tight race atop the Bundesliga. Bayern Munich at the top of the table by a point. Dortmund just behind them, tied with Leverkusen. And Leipzig there rounding out your top four. For more, we welcome in Jan Agafjortov to the show. Let's start with Bayern Munich, the league leaders. They'll be visiting Stuttgart on the weekend. Bayern dropping points last weekend. Jan, no chance they do that again, yeah?
Well, it's breaking news in Germany every time they lose points. And sometimes you ask yourself, where do they take their energy from? Emilian Neal, the whole team is on their way on different national teams. They come back and always do well. But this time, they play Werder Bremen, who before this game had played four times in a row 1-1. And what happened? It was a 1-1 against Werder Bremen. And them losing points, then you thought, well, the rest of the teams won't take that chance. Leipzig didn't. Dortmund did. And so Bayern kind of making up a kind of excitement in the German Bundesliga.
A real quick note on Stuttgart. They've got the American manager, Pellegrino Matarazzo. We don't talk about him a whole lot. What are folks in Germany saying, not just about Matarazzo, but about his Stuttgart team?
Well, the Stuttgart team has been a bit of a surprise, but people were not sure where they will end up on the table. Matarazzo has done his way into European football in a funny way by building himself up, recommending himself into different clubs. Then you remember he was the assistant coach at Hoffenheim. And Hoffenheim, they are good at educating coaches, being there with Nagelsmann. I'm very pleased for him, and I'm pleased for him as an American. I remember some years ago when 10 minutes away from me here in Norway, Bob Bradley suddenly turned up here, and Jesse March in Salzburg. And I'm happy for Matarazzo that he goes that way. And Stuttgart is a quite exciting place at the moment. They got Thomas Hitzlberger, you know, the former German national player, as their manager. So they are running well at the moment. I'm very pleased for them. It's an old, traditional, very good club who kind of got hidden in the second Bundesliga for some years.
Jan, also on Saturday, Dortmund hosting Cologne. We know this Dortmund team can be inconsistent. Is there any threat against Cologne that they might slip back into that pattern?
Well, there shouldn't be. I mean, the only team that kind of take away the terrible run that Cologne has is Schalke, who has been 24 or 25 games in a row without winning. Köln are looking terrible at the moment. With Gistol, they had a great, great time in saving their place in the Bundesliga last season after 8-9 quite good games. Been terrible since that. And Dortmund, well, we just felt when they went 1-0 down in Berlin, we thought, well, Bayern losing 2 points, they will do the same. And then there are some guys, a Norwegian called Haaland, who scored 4 goals in 32 minutes. And it's just like unbelievable when they just start. It's so unbelievable how Haaland always get a space. How does he get in there? And then he got great passes as well. What I like about this goal that he's normally doing is that he looks up to see where I am, which position I do. And you've seen sometimes that he shoot quite early at goalkeepers. So what does he do in Berlin? Well, he just turns to goalkeeper. There is a combination of him being great of finding spaces, and then he got fantastic players around him who place him in those fantastic positions. And there's something about him at the moment. He just looks that he can't stop scoring. And he had the providers in the team with your own Reina. You have Bellingham, you have Royce, you had Sancho, was on fire in the Champions League this season. So I expect a clear win for Dortmund Saturday against Cologne at home.
Jan, in the last couple of weeks, every time we've talked about Erling Haaland, I feel like one of the things I keep hearing from pundits is, but he can get so much better. He's only 20 years old. There's so much room to grow. Is that true, or are we just saying that to fill the airwaves? How much better can he get? Like, you know his camp well. What are the things that they're pointing to as, and I'm, for people on the podcast, and this is in air quotes, weaknesses in his game?
Well, I think as a first of all, we have to state that he, as a 20-year-old, at the moment, he's one of the best strikers in the world. Haaland, Lewandowski, outside of Kane, doing well in the typical number nine, provider as well at Tottenham. And what it is like with Dortmund, they don't play a lot with crosses. It's more these quite silky passes through the middle. So there's not a lot of crosses to Erling Haaland. So with his height, he has a big improvement in his heading abilities. He should be a good header because he is so tall. What we have seen lately is that he's also improving his understanding of the game. Sometimes you see him playing his teammates through. The third thing is that he's getting also much better in keeping the ball up front. So if you ask him, can he get better? Of course he can get better. And we know about these kids in Dortmund, they work so hard and intense every day to improve. And I think that environment there with, I've said it before, with the biggest American talent, the biggest Norwegian talents, the two biggest talents from England, Ano Moukoko, the biggest German talent as well. I mean, they've got all the abilities in the world to get a great team in 1 or 2 years. Can they be challengers this year? Well, as long as Bayern keep making some 1-1 knowing again.
All right, one more game to focus on then. Mönchengladbach and Schalke. Mönchengladbach coming off a great midweek in the Champions League. But Schalke, Jan, what is going on? I don't even want to say with this team, with this club. It's just, to borrow a term, a dumpster fire.
Yeah, and for some young listeners, viewers, they don't understand how big club Schalke is. It's one of the biggest clubs in Europe. And at the moment, it's scandalous what's going on there. Just to sum up this week, okay, they haven't won for 25 games or 24 games. So they are about to break the record of Tasmania Berlin. That's like 100 years ago when they went 31 games without a win. So this week, just sum it up. Okay, on Wednesday, there was a corona test. Okay, that can happen. One player out. So they fire their squad planner, Reschke. Then Ibisevic, who said, I will come there, only play and pay me just for the game. Now we take him away. Then there were two other players suspended. Another one will be taken off this summer. And this was just 3 or 4 days, and we're still just Thursday. So probably with your time difference, when you go to bed, there is something else going on at the club. The only thing we do know about this club, coming this weekend, they would still got no points. So that is the only consistent thing about what used to be a great club of European football.
Such a shame. Good news that Weston McKennie made it out of there before the decay really set in. Jan, thanks so much. Great stuff as always. Of course, the Bundesliga available to you exclusively on ESPN+. And there you see the weekend slate, one match Friday, and then the rest of the competition over the weekend. Another reminder, too, about some more programming on ESPN+. The FA Cup returns to your screens. There's the schedule. Plenty of matches over the next 4 days. All that action available for you on ESPN+. Serie A, of course, available for you exclusively on ESPN+. Here's a look at the weekend slate. 3 games on Saturday and then Sunday. Big one. Napoli hosting Roma. You can just imagine what the emotional scenes will be in and around that stadium. For more, we welcome in Stuart Robson. Let's start right there, Robbo. You can just imagine what the city of Naples will be like ahead of this match.
Oh, it's going to be on fire. I mean, it's the big game. They're all going to be outside, probably. I'm not sure they should be, but they're going to be outside the stadium. And it's a big game for Napoli because they didn't play particularly well last week against Milan. They had Bakayoko sent off, which didn't help them. But they've got a problem with a front three that are very small. They can Insigne, who plays on the left-hand side, Lozano, who's got plenty of pace,
and then Dries Mertens and Milan knew that if they pressed high up the field, that then when Napoli played it long, they could intercept, and really Napoli couldn't get going. So they've got to change that. Somehow Gattuso's got to get the better of the system that Roma play. Roma are the informed team at the moment. They've only lost the one game, and that was because they played an illegible player on the, or he wasn't registered on the first game of the season. That meant they lost 3-0 to Verona. But I think this is a great game, and it's a chance for Roma to really show that they are title contenders. Mm. They've done very well under Paolo Fonseca. He seems to have got the system right. He plays with a back three that are doing really well. There'd be wing-backs that are doing well getting forward. And then they've changed the front three at times. So it's going to be a very good game. And I just think that Roma may just put them.
All right. Moving back to Saturday, Sassuolo, second in the table, hosting Inter Milan, who right now find themselves in fifth and had a terrible midweek in the Champions League against Real Madrid. Robert, what is going on with Antonio Conte and this team?
He's got a problem at the moment. They seem to start games really slowly. Even the game against Torino, who were third bottom at the time, and maybe even second bottom at the time, they were 2-0 down, had to fight their way back. They've done that many times this season. It doesn't look as though they're prepared for the start of the matches. The system isn't quite working. I've always been a great fan of Antonio Conte, but it looks as though he's got problems at the moment. Real Madrid dominated the game. Don't worry about the sending off of Vidal. They were dominating the game before that. When the way they play with a narrow midfield three and two centre forwards, any switch of play out to the opposition's fullbacks causes them a problem. And that's exactly what Sassuolo will try and do. And somehow Antonio Conte's got to get the team playing much better. He's got to make sure that they, if they can't get it into the front players, as Modric and Kroos stopped them doing against Real Madrid, they've got a plan B that they can keep switching the play and getting their wing-backs high up the field. But at the moment, it looks like a team that's not really playing for the manager. And I think Antonio Conte, having had the rows with the board, is going to be under pressure. He's got to do very well over the next few weeks if he's to keep his job.
Thank you, Robbo. Here's a look at the top half of the Serie A table then. Inter Milan just outside the top four, their inner city rivals. AC Milan atop the table, 20 points through 8 matches played. Thursday, of course, a very busy day in the Europa League. Let's get you caught up on all the action. Spurs 4-0 winners over Ludogorets. Carlos Vinicius scoring a brace there as Spurs ran out pretty much a second team. Leicester City needing a late goal from Jamie Vardy to make it 3-3. Arsenal comfortable winners in their match. AC Milan, no Zlatan Ibrahimovic. They tie away at Lille 1-1. Napoli, of course, we showed you the images off the top of the show. Emotional scenes outside their stadium. Napoli able to finish off the job, winning 2-0. Roma also 2-0 winners. Bad day for Celtic. They get hammered by Sparta Prague, 4-1. Meanwhile, Rangers playing out a 2-2 draw against Benfica. All right, that's all the time we've got for today's edition of ESPN FC. A special thank you to Mario Kempes, who stopped by to discuss the legacy of Diego Armando Maradona. You can catch the entirety of that interview over on our YouTube page. Thanks to everyone involved on today's show, and thanks to you for watching. Adrian Healy will be back tomorrow with another edition of ESPN FC. Enjoy.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.